You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up later, we'll hear the incredible story of Carson Gully, a famed chef, instructor, and activist who once called Wisconsin home.
First, the world of political donors has long been dominated by male millionaires and billionaires. But the audiences at major donor events might be starting to change. Data from the current election cycle shows that there has been a notable growth in the number of women that donate to super PACs.
And there's a familiar name among the list of top political donors, Diane Hendricks, Wisconsin billionaire, owner of the largest wholesale roofing supply company in the country. Hendricks was a supporter of right-to-work legislation, has given money to Governor Scott Walker's gubernatorial campaigns, and donated millions to a Koch Brothers pro-Republican super PAC.
And Hendricks isn't the only woman who's among top political donors. According to the Center for Responsive Politics and the Washington Post, during this election cycle, 37 women are among the top 150 donors to super PACs.
Joining us now to tell us more about the rise of women political donors is Kelly Dittmar. She's an assistant professor of political science at Rutgers University Camden and scholar at the Center for American Women and Politics at the Eagleton Institute of Politics. She manages the Center's Presidential Gender Watch 2016 project. Kelly, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So traditionally, the top donors have been men in politics. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so what's leading to this rise, do you think, of women at these top levels of political donations?
Well, I should say we still have a ways to go. But I do think what we're seeing is a shift in sort of women's thinking about political giving, and also a difference in women's economic realities. In other words, we're seeing women more better economically situated to be amongst the top donors. That hasn't been the case for many years due to a lot of things outside of the political sphere in terms of wealth gaps and inequality in terms of incomes. But I think when it comes to the shift in thinking about political giving, what we've seen in the past is that women were significantly better represented among those philanthropic donors. In other words, they pick an issue or a policy or something that they care most about, and they give to that cause. They haven't seen politics as the place to give and make that social change. I think you're starting to see a shift in recognition to the importance of politicians specifically and politics overall in where those changes can and should be made, and therefore the money from those women follows as long as that change or that candidate aligns with their ideology and their policy priorities.
Do you think high-profile women candidates, Sarah Palin some years back, Hillary Clinton, her second big presidential run, now actually the nominee, do you think that sways women to donate?
I do think it helps. I think any time that we see more women participating in what we would think of as sort of formal politics, it does provide a sort of model and motivation to other women to get engaged. And it makes them think of many ways they can get engaged. We're at the Center for American Women in Politics. We're always talking to women about the multiple ways you can participate politically. That's not only running as a candidate, but it could be supporting candidates, whether financially or through other means, volunteering, etc. So I do think when you have women prominently in campaigns and on the ballot, you start to realize that the political space is not just a space for men, but is also for women, and you figure out the ways that you can get involved. Of course, in this campaign, as you noted at the top of the program, you have one of the top donors giving to the Republican side of the aisle, so not necessarily giving to Hillary Clinton. However, you do see among some of these top female donors on the super PACs list, they are giving to Hillary Clinton as well. So there is a sort of mix there among the donors themselves in terms of partisanship. I do think just changing the idea that politics is just for men is probably most important when you have women candidates at high levels.
When we're looking at this kind of participation, this is kind of a rarefied category. People can write 6 or 7-digit checks to a candidate. Are you seeing women get involved in formal politics more in the other ways available, whether it's running for office, volunteering for a campaign, some of the other things you were talking about?
Well, women have always been great at being engaged in terms of volunteering and helping out with campaigns. But what we are seeing an increase in, thankfully, is they're having a larger say in campaigns. So that means not just volunteering on a campaign, but being amongst the campaign strategists and political consultants. I will say on that front, they're still far underrepresented in comparison to men. So while we're seeing improvements, there's a lot of ways to go. In terms of candidates, of course, Again, we see progress, but we need a lot more progress to reach parity with men. And we know that when women run for office, they are as likely to men, as men to win in comparable races. But where we're seeing the dearth is in the number of candidates to begin with. So again, we're seeing more women in office. We're seeing more women candidates slowly but surely. But really, to sort of reach parity with men, we're going to have to see much more involvement, engagement, and also that requires recruitment and support, not just the sort of not to put the onus on the women themselves. It means that parties and political people need to encourage and support women candidates, and that means financially supporting them as well. So having more donors in the pool who might think a little bit differently and prioritize women's representation could also help.
We're talking to political scientist Kelly Dittmar about women's participation in politics, rising numbers of women in the top ranks of elite donors to campaigns. One of the things prompting this discussion, we heard the news today, Kelly, that Wisconsin's Diane Hendricks, who we talked about earlier, Liz Eline, just were added to Donald Trump's economic advisor team. Trump had gotten some criticism for not having women on that team. Mitt Romney got into trouble with his binders full of women comment some years back. Is it getting to a point where it's a liability if candidates are perceived as having all male teams, cadres surrounding them?
Yeah, I do think that there is increasingly recognition that having more diversity at any table of decision making is going to lead to better decisions. And that includes gender diversity, racial diversity, and other types of diversity, age, et cetera. I think when Donald Trump put out the first set of economic advisors, I think it was surprising, especially to many of us who are watching this race closely, because he's already been criticized for a lack of both respect and recognition of women's expertise. And so I see that they remedied that today a little bit, but it may be a little too late in terms of the damage that has been done. But I think across the board, you are seeing candidates recognize that women are not only educated and intelligent advisors and experts to a campaign, but they're also essential in terms of the voters. Women vote at higher rates than men. They both outnumber and outvote men. And so it's important for both Republicans and Democrats to take them seriously as voters and participants in this campaign process.
Ultimately, if we see more women and a continuing rise in the number of women at these top ranks of political donors, does it change politics? Does it influence policy with them involved?
Potentially. I mean, I think it's important to remember that what we know from political giving is the top donors don't necessarily determine an agenda. While some think it's pay to play, in most cases, what it allows is a sort of access to the candidate that others might not have. So will top donors who might bring different priorities to the table influence the process? Potentially. They might bring some things that they care deeply about to a candidate, and that might influence the candidate because they get a chance to talk to them and have some influence on them. But I think more than that, it's a recognition that these women who are participating in the donor process can support the candidate who already has an agenda that they support most. So you might see different candidates being supported, especially when you start to look at lower levels of office, because you have different types of donors at the table. We saw this with Emily's List years ago when they started their donor pools, and what you saw was more women being supported because they supported both women explicitly, but also the policy agendas around which women donors were really concerned.
Kelly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks again for having me.
That's Kelly Dittmar, political scientist at Rutgers University, Camden.